Hi everyone, welcome. Hi everyone, welcome to the Control F5 webinar, Rethinking Digital Brand Activation. All of us from Candid are very happy that you've joined us today. I'm Amrita Kumar, CEO and co-founder of Candid Marketing, and with me is Atul Nath, MD and founder of Candid Marketing. And both of us will be hosting you and moderating the discussions in this webinar. This is a forum for marketers and brand custodians like us to discuss the why, what, and how of digital brand activation in these times. Some quick housekeeping announcements. The chat is disabled. There'll be three sessions, 40 minutes each. And between the sessions, there'll be a 10-minute break for us to get set up for the next session. So getting started. Post the pandemic, marketing will be the link between the brands and the consumers, and marketing will play a pivotal role. But what happens when the consumers are not going to get out of the house much and prefer staying at home? Brands will be asking, how will our consumers' needs change? And how do we head into this whole post-crisis new normal with a new marketing mix? Where do we spend money? How do we handle this whole volatile climate? It'll be interesting also to see how we as marketing planners and partners handle this situation differently. Technologies that were previously more experimental are now becoming viable means of conducting business. So without further ado, I'll start with the first session. The first session deals with digital brand activation, not an optional in tomorrow's world. Basically, what we want to discuss here is, while digital is an obvious choice, does it really work, and get into the whole why of it. Our first speaker is Pierce Walker. Pierce is Swiss, but not really neutral. He went to the Swiss art school and has spent time in a Vietnamese prison for creating a very creative looking visa. He joined the Swiss special forces, which taught him how to kill and jump out of a plane, but he claims it's not at the same time. After that, he landed in the London advertising scene, where his love for advertising started. He worked for big agencies in Hamburg and Berlin, and after that returned to Zurich to start Walker, the world's smallest agency. Proving that size doesn't matter, the Gunn report listed Walker in the top 40 creative agencies worldwide. He's been awarded Switzerland's Adman of the Year and also earned a United Nations Award on behalf of Amnesty International. Nestle has retained Walker recently to help lift its brands even higher. I think there's a video before Pierce starts talking.
First opened our doors.
Since 1926.
Since 1978.
For 60 years.
For 75 years.
For over 80 years.
In 90 years.
Over 100 years.
Nationwide has been on your side.
Restaurants have always been there for you.
Nissan has been with you through thick and thin.
We will do what we've always done.
Take care of people.
We're people.
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 And family.
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 Families.
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 Even now.
Especially now.
Especially now.
Right now.
Now more than ever.
More than ever.
Today more than ever.
Today more than ever.
In times like this.
At times like these.
During these difficult times.
In these troubled times.
Challenging times.
Trying times.
In these times of uncertainty.
During this time of great uncertainty.
During these uncertain times.
During these uncertain times.
In uncertain times.
In uncertain times.
Uncertain times.
Unprecedented times.
Unprecedented times.
Unprecedented times.
This unprecedented moment in our history.
This time of social distancing.
While things have slowed down.
As we turn more inside.
While the doors may be closed.
While the distance between us has gotten bigger.
The more we stay apart.
We still find ways to stay close. Even when we're apart.
Even if we can't stand closer than 6 feet.
We can all stay connected to work, school, and most importantly, to each other.
There's still ways to touch each other.
All without leaving the comfort and safety of your home.
Without leaving the safety of your home.
From home.
In home.
Your home.
At home.
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 That's the key.
Buick and GMC are here to help.
Con Edison is here to help.
Here to help.
Our teams are here.
We are here.
We're here.
We're here.
Here for you.
Here for you.
We're here for you.
We are here for you.
We are here for you.
We're here for you.
We are here for you.
We'll be here for you.
Runnings is here for you.
We're still here for you.
We're with you.
We're part of your community.
So you can trust us.
You can count on us.
And we'll get through this. Together.
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 And together.
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 Yes, Piers.
Yes, very good to be here. Thanks very much for the invite. I think it's a very interesting forum and panel we got here, digital brand activation. And I was sort of thinking, how can we get in the lead of digital brand activation in the future? And my thoughts are sort of circling around the fact that I think that the brand and the person are identical in many ways, especially in the ways that are relevant to marketing communications. And in this, as we did here before in this video, in this very special time we are now in, interestingly, I think most of us sort of are forced into this kind of worldwide merry-go-round and find themselves in a time of reflection. And indeed, the situation we all find ourselves in at the moment is probably the most interesting and decisive time of our generation. And it could be nothing less than a cornerstone in the history of humanity, really. I believe so. And the beginning of a new era, a new age. And that goes for advertising as well, of course. And for me, it might be called the new age of humility and respect. And I know in German it's this word, Demut, which is quite an interesting word, but it can't be translated into English. And it means something like respect and humility, but also says knowing the place we are in and that we are smaller than the whole. So we kind of, know your place. And I think it's really a question of mindset that is important in the future. And this new age of humility and respect means that we need to realize that we don't know a fraction of what we think we know. We realize the vulnerability of our species, and realizing endless growth is an illusion, simply because the size of the planet will always be the same and not expand. And this very simple basic thought will lead to the age of less, basically. That means for the survival of our species, a complete change of our mindset will be indispensable. Less is not only more, in the future, less will be everything. And this leads to a completely new age in communication. As we all know, we don't have a lack of information. We have a lack of high quality filters that present us with less information. That's where the money is. We have an exploding amount of new channels and tools at hand, and that explosion will continue, but we are faced with a lack of attention. That is the issue. And this leads to the age of the big idea, which I'm a strong believer into, the age of big and differentiating ideas. As the quality of mainstream communication will continue to improve on an executional level, new technical possibilities will further enhance the level of advertising messages, and while making them more effective, also making them more and more congruent with the next message. They will all be the same. In the sea of high quality sameness, only real differentiation will lead to effectiveness. So function beats form, and this is why I believe that the age of big ideas is about to begin. So in summary of my short introduction, so whoever keeps the above four points in my view, will take the future lead in digital brand activation. Thank you.
Thanks, Piers. Thanks a lot. We'll get into questions after everybody shares their views. Our next speaker is Siddharth. Siddharth Menon is the Chief Marketing Officer at Drums Food International, makers of India's first Greek yogurt, Epigamia. At Epigamia, Sid's role is to drive growth, awareness, and advocacy through strategic initiatives using consumer insight and an integrated marketing approach that brings the brand essence to life across online and offline channels. Lovely to have you here, Siddharth. Can you just share your views before we...
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for having me here. From a digital brand activation standpoint, I think fundamentally we all realize that as manufacturers and marketers, we cannot be unidimensional in our communication. That wasn't true earlier. It's definitely not going to be true going forward. And I think let's take a step back and let's try and understand this sort of unprecedented, to most of us at least, event of a pandemic. What sort of behaviors are we going to see play out of the consumers? What's really going to come out of it? And I think if you go back in history and you look at, you know, what war has done to consumers and what pandemics have done to consumers, you get sort of two sort of or three sort of threads that play out. I think one is consumers or people, not consumers, humans have this resilience to acceptance. They accept the new norm, right? And they modify behavior basis this new norm. We are very resilient as a species. We obviously have no control on the pandemic. So therefore we do things that will help us grasp more control. And I'll talk about how that will sort of change behaviors. And I think the biggest thing is, and that's the video that you guys showed earlier, there is this pro-social behavior that comes in. When you're going through grief, when you think of others, that sort of manages your own grief in many ways or manages your own anguish in many ways. I think these three things will probably play out in four sort of behavior changes. Or codes of behavior that will play out. For me, one is protection. People will think about their protection a lot more. I saw a beautiful little photograph a friend sent me, which is a bill of a dark kitchen order that he had made, which had the temperature of all the employees that walked in. So hygiene footprint is something that I will demand from people that stuff that I buy. The other code of behavior that will change is readiness. We'll always want to be ready because we're going to go through this hammer and dance for the next 2 years. You know, there's going to be restraints, lockdowns, I think e-commerce, community commerce, they'll all play a huge role in the way we deliver our products to our consumers. We'll obviously, the go-to-markets will change. I think trust is going to be a big, big factor. Organizations need to show solidarity. That's really when consumers will sort of build in. So, you know, it's no longer talking about your products. It's really talking about what you're doing to make this world a better place. That's going to play out. And I think consumers in their sense of grasping control will also want upliftment. And I think brands will play a huge role in sort of giving them avenues to uplift themselves during this time. These sort of four codes will really play out. And underlying with these codes is the fact that digital, where people were very comfortable to connect, were very comfortable to as a form of entertainment, very comfortable for discovery, now are making digital comfortable for fitness, education, and even commerce. Very few people are very sort of reluctant to do commerce on digital. Now they're very comfortable doing it. So I think digital play a huge role. And to summarize, organizations cannot be unidimensional anymore. We'll have to sort of play out these consumer behaviors and see how to bring them to life on digital.
Cool. That's very interesting. I have a few questions which I'll come back to you with later. Our next speaker is Suchita Salwan. She launched Little Black Book, or LBB, in 2015 as a platform to connect unique local brands and businesses with consumers across India. It's a web and app-based platform. LBB enables over 100,000 local brands and businesses to get discovered, connected, and retail their products to customers across India. So Suchita's also been on the Forbes India and Asia's 30 under 30 list, Forbes W Power list, Fortune India 40 under 40, and has been a speaker at Harvard University's India's conference. It's so many credentials. Sorry, I've stuttered. Sista, over to you.
Lists are stupid, guys. Lists are stupid. Don't believe anyone. Okay, I'll give you guys my perspective, right? So sit on this call, and I'm sure Cadbury to some extent as well. Our platform is all about driving two types of behaviors, right? Either helping a customer make decisions online, and then extending those decisions offline, because we launched commerce recently, a user can also shop through our platform. We've been affected in a fairly interesting way, where obviously the customer is now becoming a consumer. And I'll actually lead with that in terms of the trends that I see, right? Your customer, the person who earlier used to buy from you, the person who earlier, who you used to perhaps earlier entice with, Facebook, Instagram, and Google campaigns where the ROI is purchases made, that base is shrinking, right? And it's shrunk considerably, and all of us can only hope that that base grows or comes back to some level of normalcy over the next couple of months. However, that customer has now become a consumer, and there's a difference in between the two, right? You consume information, you consume content, you consume events, you consume webinars like this, but you may not necessarily be customers to this. And I think that's where, that's the first trend that I'll start with, wherein brands need to think about their customers as consumers, as opposed to just folks who will transact with them. Because I think that equation and that relationship in between brands and business is going to change fairly considerably, especially over the next 6 to 8 months, right? We can only hope that there's some revival closer to our festive seasons. But I think that's the one thing that I'll begin with. At LBB, we've made a lot of changes. So even we've realized that, our customers are, we need to retain this customer. We've spent all of this money, we've created all of this effort in acquiring these users. We can't have it all piss away, right? So you have to make sure that you engage with those users. So if you opened our platform 3 months ago, and if you open our platform right now, there's a dramatic difference in between the experience. So in the past 3 weeks, actually, we guys have done over 200 live events. So everything from, music gigs to doodling classes to baking workshops, it's all happened on LBB. We've done a lot of at-home entertainment. So, recipes at home to doing your gardening at home, this, that, and the other. We've also, launched things like shoppable videos. So now you can, watch a review of 3 snack brands, and you can, shop those brands off of our platform, because we launched Essentials on our app and our web as well. But the point that I'm making is, I think we all realize that, we can't let this consumer go, because we've toiled way too hard to get them into our funnel. We cannot let them go just because, they may not necessarily be buying our products or buying things that we sell to them as of right now. So I'll start with that. I think the second thing that I'll sort of lean into is more than ever, consumers will want to make choices. They won't want options. And the difference in between the two is, say, for example, look at fashion as a category, right? You don't buy the first thing that you see, you browse, right? There's an element of discovery, serendipity, window shopping involved. With categories like that taking a bit of a hit, with your more, superfluous expenses taking a bit of a hit, this consumer will not want to tool around. They will want to make a choice. And when I look at things from the perspective of LBB, essentially, for platforms like us, we need to empower choices more than just empowering optionality, because the consumer doesn't have time to browse 30 t-shirts, which they are unwilling to buy as of right now. So I think that's the second big trend that I'll lean into. The other more obvious one is, I think content marketing has never been more important than before, right? And this goes back to the point that I made earlier about customer versus consumer, where you have to make sure that your user doesn't leave you. Even if whether it means you show them a comedy show or you show them whatever, it doesn't matter. You know, we've seen the biggest platforms that are e-com platforms that are doing comedy shows. There's no correlation in between the two, but you have to keep them engaged. There's too much CAC that will, you know, get flushed down the toilet. I think the last thing that I'll say is I am a part of this book club. Don't ask, guys, but I'm a part of this book club, and we've been reading Nassim Nicholas Taleb's Fooled by Randomness. And I think the one, you know, piece of advice that I'll give to everyone over here, and I think Pia spoke about this as well, but let's not be fooled by randomness. There are so many things that will become viral, that will get a lot of traction. They're all random in nature. It's very, very hard to predict, you know, which way this consumer will go. So keep, you know, keep throwing darts, keep trying things out. But just because you success with one thing, don't expect replicability of it, because even the user is anxious. They're a little all over the place right now. So those are the three things that I'll share.
Some very cool thoughts, Sujata. Thanks a lot. You know, your perspective is actually very, very valuable, which is not to say the others is not. It's because, you know, you come from a non-marketer point of view. You are a marketer, but in that sense, you've got a platform, and you know you're a content and commerce platform, and that gives you a different perspective. And the moment you said Taleb, I could see Anil getting very excited, and he's going to be getting a chance to speak, because I mean he's a real Taleb man, if I can call him that. So Amrita, go ahead.
Yeah. So Atul's already given a clue. Anil's next. Anil Vishwanathan is director of marketing chocolates of Mondelez India, and is responsible for spearheading the chocolates category. He spent 18 years in the company across a variety of roles and also across different territories around the world. He's an avid runner, a Manchester United fan, and loves food.
Yeah.
Anil, over to you.
Hi, hello everybody. Many things are going to change in the new normal, but some things may not, like old habits. It's highly likely that a marketer will continue to use PowerPoint. So with your permission, I'm going to use a few slides to tell my story. I hope the tech works. Meanwhile, in case you hear some loud noises around me, just because there are three kids at home, not because the tech isn't working. So here we go. Just let me know if you can see my screen, Amrita.
We can.
Yes, all good. Go for it.
So hi, I'm Anil. I manage the chocolate business for Mondelez. That's my mugshot. And I thought I'd start my story through this mugshot. So that's me in pre-COVID times. And this is me in post-COVID times. And even looking at that picture and looking at myself, I can see so many things have changed, right? I haven't worn a jacket in 45 days. I haven't worn a buttoned up full sleeve shirt again in 45 days. I haven't worn perfume in 45 days. I haven't worn my contact lenses in a very, very long time, since I'm not allowed to go out running. So a lot has changed, and a lot is likely to continue to change. I really loved the points that my co-panelists spoke about. Pius, I love the point around reflecting about your role in the world, your position in the world, and how everything else is changing around us, and we need time to reflect. I love the point, Siddharth, you made about the resilience to acceptance, and the point around people wanting upliftment. And Suchita, I loved your point around not letting your consumers go. I'm telling you, I'm really desperate. I don't want to let my consumers go. It is quite dynamic. Speaking about our brands and our business, we've indeed been affected by this new normal. Two spaces that we see things changing. Two reasons why things are changing for us. A lot of people are staying at home, which means the thing they used to do outside no longer relevant. Means that a lot more value has been given to things that are happening in home, at home, family, friends, the power of social connections, how to be connected despite being at home, etc., etc. And for you know, brands and categories like us, which are heavily dependent on impulse, really making us reflect in terms of how do we connect to our consumers while they are at home? How do you ensure that our categories reach them? And secondly, more specific to India, is really access, and how access dramatically changed, disrupted, And while we continue to hope that it is just a disruption and it will come back to normal, there's also a sinking feeling that in many cases, access is going to change permanently. So with this changing and a lot of perspectives coming in terms of consumer behavior and how consumers are thinking about life and restricted living, I thought I'd talk about two things specific to the point around digital activation. And the two points I want to talk about are really full funnel commerce. A few of my co-panelists already spoke about it. And for large brands like ours, a big distribution with a lot of offline business, we are having to reflect on how do we really activate full funnel commerce? What was possibly a little bit of a hobby, something that was subscale, has suddenly become pretty much a lifeline. And I think as we look forward into the future, definitely feels that there's going to be a significant change. We've seen this before. There are many case studies of how things changed in China post SARS, and that is really coming alive with every passing day in terms of full funnel commerce. And the second point that I reflect on and that we are preparing for is really the point around engagement and how the space around digital is providing, has always provided for engagement. But to the point that some of my panelists have made earlier, given the times that we live in and given the kind of disruption we're going through, it is becoming more important for brands to have a point of view, to really think about what they stand for, what they want to do, and what, how they want to engage with consumers beyond just offering their products and services. And really use that purpose to engage on a one-to-one basis to make a meaningful transaction. It's only then we feel that that feeling of losing out to my customers doesn't happen. So these were the kind of two things that I feel are going to be very important. And this is where digital activation really is going to come alive. When I speak about full funnel commerce, even in the pre-COVID times, we've seen from our category how we've been able to activate across the entire funnel much more actively in 2020 than before. And it's going to become even more important. I'm using Valentine's Day as an example. We had a really great Valentine's Day activation earlier this year. And starting from storytelling to engaging to actually converting into commerce through personalization, we could really see that activating our brands in the digital world, we could really bring it all together much more effectively than ever before. And in terms of engaging with purpose, again, you know, being a most trusted brand, we've tried to take strides to engage with our consumers almost on an always-on basis, based on a purpose that we found for our brand, which is in the space of generosity, and really shining a little light of generosity in an increasingly selfish world. And it's really wonderful, isn't it? There are times of crisis. This indeed need to be generous to others and to be humble and to thank all those who are making our lives secure really comes to light so strongly. And we believe that digital becomes really important in this space to engage meaningfully, because many of the things that we could have not conceived of in a traditional unidirectional me to many kind of advertising has changed to one-on-one meaningful purpose-driven engagement. So I guess these are the two things that I want to kind of talk about. And with that, hand it over back to Amrita and Atul. Thank you.
Thanks, Anil. If you can do a stop screen share. Atul, do you want to move to the questions? One second, Atul. Just for the attendees, the question box is open. So if you have any questions, type away. We've also collected some questions before the session through links which were emailed to registered attendees. So we've got some already. So the others you can type away for any who are panelists. Atul?
Yeah, so what I'm going to start with is, you know, I was listening quite intently to obviously all four, and I'd like to thank them for being here, obviously. Pierce, you talked about, you know, the need for the big idea and the age of the big idea. In many ways, you know, the age of the big idea has been around for some time. How do you kind of see it playing out differently from earlier? The age of the big idea used to be not so long back about converting to that one single TVC, the television commercial. You know, that used to be the rendition of the big idea. How do you see that changing, if at all? I mean, TV, people are still watching TV, though they may be watching Netflix instead of terrestrial television, cable television. But how do you see that changing in terms of the conversion of the big idea into more relevant content and, as a result, commerce? Because all four of you talked about, well, three of you talked about the importance of commerce from a digital perspective.
Well, first of all, I think the big idea, you're absolutely right, is sort of a timeless thing. But it becomes more and more important as we struggle to cope with the information overload we're all facing. And so I think it becomes just because the what's really happening, if you look at the communications markets as a whole, is that the middle bulk is getting better and better. It gets more professional, it gets, you know, lovely executed. And so you got to have a differentiation if you really want to overtake. You can't overtake in the shadow of the wind. So you have to really make yourself heard and have a different viewpoint. If you don't have that, in the future, it will be harder and harder and harder because the fight in the middle section will be even more intensely. So you, I think it's independent of the media. You know, the reason why the big TV ad in the 80s and the 90s was the big TV ad because TV was big. So I think we need to differentiate between content and form in that respect. And I think that it's really, really, really important that we connect over a big idea. And it you know, in many, many ways will play out digitally, of course, it will.
Right, yeah. You know, there's a question that Devyani Jagdale has just posted on here. And it was a question which was in my mind as well when Siddharth, you were talking about, you know, and actually Siddharth and Anil, both of you spoke about, and Suchita through her platform thing is also talking about commerce. But in the pre-COVID era, we all saw that, you know, shopping or commerce was very often precursored by some form of engagement, experience, sampling, demonstration of all kinds of things. Now, that if it becomes a challenge to do, because, you know, I mean, again, Mandeep Malhotra mentions in the Q&A that, you know, experiences are usually of the five senses, and digitally it's going to be really hard, obviously, to bring those five senses alive. So how do you kind of see that, you know, becoming a challenge and being resolved by brands, etc.? So maybe Siddharth, since you brought up the commerce thing first, we can start with you and go on to Suchita and Anil.
Yeah, I know that's an interesting challenge because for us, we're a food product and the moment of truth has always been about taste. And that's really where we've invested a lot of our money to get people to taste the product. And that means, you know, when someone's in the store, shopping is really accosting them and getting them to taste the product. And that's led to a lot of conversion. Now, needless to say, at least for the next 3-6 months, maybe even a year, you know, people are not going to frequent stores as often, or even if they frequent, they will be averse to tasting anything in the store because they're not sure of the hygiene footprint. And therefore that will always be an issue. But taste will still remain super important. Now, while we've got people to taste off the spoon in the store, we might need to create smaller packs that they can take home, sanitize. Yeah. We'll have to have distribution models where we reach the product to their house so they can taste. Taste will still be super important. But we'll have to find ways where they get small packs or a delivery mechanism that goes right to, to their house. You know, and if direct to home, e-commerce platforms like Swiggy, Zomato, which are going to sort of probably be the way people buy groceries and buy food to eat, it's through those platforms that you have to give them senses of taste, feel, and so on and so forth. The store, at least temporarily, and we are seeing that at least for the next 3 to 4 months, depends how the lockdown plays out. But I truly believe consumers will be averse to tasting and engaging in the store. They will still want to keep a social distance, and that will be a challenge. So we'll have to find other ways to get people to taste the product. You know, one of the ways that we use in the past, and that's, you know, our guerrilla marketing days is anyone in the store or anyone in an event, we just go and give them a free product. You know, that was the luxury that we had, you know, when we were starting off the business. Obviously, our ambitions are higher. We want
those early days.
Early it is. But we'll have to find some other solution, and that's going to be a challenge. But we, I think as manufacturers, we will find that solution, because taste will still be super important.
Absolutely, absolutely. Suchita?
Yeah, I wanted to add, so and can I give examples? Is that okay?
Of course.
Okay, awesome, cool.
It is encouraged.
Okay, amazing. Okay, so I'm going to show off because my colleagues have done a stellar job in actually cracking this. So I'll give you two examples, right? We recently ran a campaign for ITC Sunbeam, and they actually leaned into the Dalgona Coffee Challenge that's all over the internet. And we ran this really fun campaign where we got a couple of influencers to challenge each other using Sunbeam. And, you know, to the point, to the question that you asked, right? More than ever, people are counting on people that they trust. You know, influencers is one, platforms like LDD is another. So I think this is actually a great time to lean into vehicles of trust. And vehicles of trust, you know, take multiple different manifestations, but that campaign worked really, really well on our platform and for IPC. So, you know, so sampling needn't necessarily always be picking up the product and giving it to a million people to taste. It is about sampling through vehicles of trust, right? So that's one example of something we've done. I'll give you guys another really fun example of something that we tried out recently, where baking and cooking as a, you know, as a content category is obviously crushing it on LBB right now. And we have a bunch of these live Zoom classes that we do. So we recently did a Zoom class and we're going to be launching another one soon, where we ship the ingredients to all the attendees of the class in advance. So tomorrow, you know, a Cadbury or an Epigame or whoever who wants to host a cooking workshop where one of their ingredients is a part of the kit, they can send it out to people in advance, and people can use that kit in this live Zoom class conducted by an expert chef or whoever else. So these are just two examples of things that we've tried and tested. And frankly, they've worked really, really well, where, you know, do two things. One, lean on vehicles of trust. Or second is ship the ingredients to people, get them to try it out. You obviously may not be able to ship it to, you know, hundreds of thousands of people, because that's not economically viable. Just your shipping cost will be, you know, in between 60 to 100 rupees, whether you use a hyperlocal partner or, you know, one of the large partners. But I do think there are really unique ways in which sampling opportunities can be created, and it may not be in the literal sense of, you know, taking a tray and making people try your product. But these two have been fairly effective, you know, for brands that we worked with at LBB.
Yeah, and just building on that, Atul, just I think there's a thought came across from my end, which is that I think the two points being made is, I think there is definitely an opportunity to inspire the consumer to, like, go ahead and experience. And I think the platform does provide the opportunity. Digital platforms provide, and brands like Epigame has been doing that wonderfully already. Inspiring and almost enticing the experience to say that the experience is as wonderful as what we can see, which is again something that this medium has been able to explore. And I think the second thing is the fact that, I mean, going back to the point that the truth is in the eating, especially for food brands, it's actually going back to saying that a large part of that part of marketing, Atul, you've seen this for many years, actually has become transactional over time. And what I anticipate after this is actually getting more special, more personalized. Maybe things like on-premise will become even more important. It'll convert itself into an event in itself, that come and experience, an almost appointment-based experience. I think it will definitely get expensive for brands, but it is an investment that will, again, create its own kind of a positive word of mouth spiral. It will become something that you look forward to.
Yeah.
I almost see an auto show equivalent for food coming up at some point in time, where people all gather and talk about experiences of that sort, which they can't experience in general in a typical store on a plate, as Suchita was saying. It's going to change, and possibly change for the good.
Okay, we've got several questions, you know, and we are running short of time. I'll say both the questions quickly, and, you know, it's for mostly all of you. Some of us are asking, when, you know, people are used to living with less and, you know, making the right noise, how do you make the business decision of the right communication? And, you know, the second part of the question is kind of connected is, you know, and Suchita did talk about trends, you know, with so many also trends happening, how does the, you know, the brand decide, or which levers does a brand use to decide, you know, which trend to jump on, you know, especially in these times. So I think I've kind of clubbed a lot of people's questions, yeah, but I think this will be the last one.
How do you maintain your conscience while making brand decisions?
Exactly.
I don't know who, anyone can start. Siddharth, you want to give it a go?
No, so I'm not sure if I understood the question correctly, but I think if it's a point, I think one question that I answered correctly is what do you really chase after?
The trends. How do you decide which trend to jump on?
Yeah, no, that's a great point. And fundamentally, I think what we have to realize is that consumers are going to need better communication that goes to them saying, why should I value you? Right? And therefore, for me, the big idea is more internal than external. Is at the end of the day, I need to be consistent for what I stand for what I communicate, for what I end up doing. I think the brand fundamentals will be tested and tested very, very strongly. You do not want to overstretch, if you ask me. So if you're a brand that does not stand for protection, don't stand for it just because consumers want it. Yes, you need to have a hygiene footprint, but that doesn't mean you suddenly release a product that's saying that I will kill germs. I think it's super important for the brands to be steady. For me, that's the big idea. And be consistent. And instead of doing too much, whatever you do, do the right and do it properly. So more quality than quantity. I think that fundamental is something that we followed and we will continue to follow. We don't want to chase every trend. For us at Epigamia, we're very clear. The brand has a few content buckets. For us, our content buckets are taste, application, health, and consumption occasion. And that's what we will play out. What we're going to add to that, which is something that we've always done, but we'll heighten it a little more, is this sort of mindfulness and the hygiene footprint, because consumers want to know that the product that I'm eating, is it safe for me to eat? And I think those are some of the content buckets that we'll add. There will be some level of contextual marketing, which will be very tactical, which will probably be about 5-10%. But the idea is not to chase every trend, according to me. So the big idea is more internal than external.
I couldn't agree more with what Siddharth is saying. I think the only additional bit that I would add is sometimes the challenge is we take it upon ourselves that we need to convince everybody that what you're doing is right. I mean, if you're doing something which is true to your values and closest to what your brand stands for, then you don't need to really seek endorsement. I think sometimes we tend to start double guessing whether one idea will get a better endorsement than the other, if some idea is going to get laughed at, if somebody is going to scorn at my idea, think that is the wrong timing. And then that leads to trying to be risk averse or trying to then respond to what somebody is saying or feeling. I think coming back to your core, as Sid very nicely said, is really the core of it. I think the other caveat is also to say that, in all of these things, it's better to be quiet is also not an easy way out. More than ever, we do hear our consumers say, please tell us what you think. Talk to us. So you have to talk. You have to take the risk. I think the easiest way out is to listen to yourself and dig into your core values. I think what helps there is to have a strong ecosystem. The agencies who know your brands well, the partnerships, the platforms that you work with, they just give you reinforcement. And when you have something right, you just get that positive reinforcement from all your partners.
Right.
Which is, again, makes you believe that you're doing the right thing.
Suchita, PS, would you guys like to add something? Suchita?
Yeah, for sure. So I think the beauty of digital is that you don't have to, you really don't have to second guess yourself and overanalyze and overthink, right? And to the point that you made earlier, Atul, I can confidently say this because we work with so many brands who, especially right. when it comes to digital, just overthink everything that they do. And I think, right now, at least where consumers are at, they're anxious, they're scared about their jobs, they're scared about so much of what the future holds. I think right now, more than ever, the consumer cares more about themselves than they care about, XYZ message that a brand is pushing out. And really what that gives brands a chance to do is have fun, experiment, try things, shoot in the dark. Obviously, to the point that both Sid and Anil made, don't make it too off what your brand promise is. But it's digital, man. The best thing about this is an Instagram story lasts only 15 seconds. So have fun with it. I think that's the first. I think the second thing that I'll add is, you know, we've been doing this at LBB. We've actually been revisiting who our user is. So I, over the past 2 weeks, I've got every single team, every single business vertical, just going back, making 100 calls to our users and just checking in on them, right? I think sometimes we forget who our user is because we're so used to servicing X need that we forget what are the new needs that have come up, which as a brand I can service. Again, without digressing too much from your original value proposition, but this is a great time for folks to just go out and make those customer calls, check in on your users, you know, see what they're interested in, see how you can be a part of their everyday and tie that in with what you have to offer.
That's pretty cool. That's interesting. Piers, you got a thought on that? I saw you answered one question. You're on mute, Piers. I saw that you answered one question by typing when someone asking about conscience. So maybe I'm going to give you the last word on what you brought up in your first little bit, that, you know, how do brands maintain a certain conscience while communicating with consumers?
Yeah, I really like the answer of you guys to the question that you were asking before. And I think, you know, coming back to what you said earlier, to the initial start, I mean, a brand and a person is really the same thing. It's the same thing. And the more we manage to bring the brand alive in a human way, the more attached the consumer will be and the more sales we'll ultimately do. So I think that's, and I think all this double testing and, you know, don't do mistakes thinking and over testing stuff will ultimately lead to crippling a brand, and it will be needed to make mistakes. It will be needed to have character and be different and be brave to maybe sometimes do something that is not completely perfect and end up with something which is more valuable, which is character. And I think that's what the consumer will be asking in the future.
Thanks, Piers. Thank you so much for all your time. Anil,
I can't believe we've run out of time. That was super quick, guys. An hour has gone by and we didn't even know. Thanks a lot, guys. A lot of I know you guys are stuck at home. Stay safe, have fun while you're at home with the families. That's what we're all trying to do. And we'll all come out with stronger business in the other side. See you guys.
Thanks
a lot.
Everybody.
All right, bye.
Okay. For the attendees, our next session is going to start at 3:25 while we do a quick switch over to the next set of speakers. So please just quickly grab a cup of tea or coffee, whichever one, or maybe a beer or gin, since you are watching it from home. And we'll see you at 3:25.